Hi, this is Hugh Cornwell, and welcome to this Mr. DeMille FM podcast. If you have any comments, suggestions, or simply want to get in touch, then please email info@mrdemillefm.com. In this show, we look at some of the classic films that have used the train. I hope you enjoy the show. I love a good train film. The idea of a group of strangers thrown together for a period of time, experiencing mishaps, misunderstandings, and often criminal acts, is perfect for the medium of film. You just heard the opening titles music to Shanghai Express, made in 1932 and starring Marlene Dietrich as a travelling woman of disrepute. It was one of four films she made with Joseph von Sternberg, a visionary director who was madly in love with her. In fact, he left his wife to go to Hollywood with Dietrich. The film was the biggest grosser of 1932 in North America. The uncredited music was by W. Frank Harting. Alfred Hitchcock was very fond of a train. To quote Paul Rennie, "The speeding train gives the protagonists and the audience a powerful sense of unstoppable destiny. Obviously, and because the train is roaring along the tracks, there is no escape from this destiny." Not only does the train contain the action of the film, it provides a scenic and cinematic backdrop through the train window. The slightly detached observation of the world, facilitated through the train window, is understood as analogous to the sensation of dreaming. The expression train of thought gives credence to the association between train travel, movement, and feeling. Hitchcock used trains in four of his films: The 39 Steps, North by Northwest, but more significantly in Strangers on a Train, and The Lady Vanishes. In The Lady Vanishes, 1938, a woman disappears without trace on a train, and our heroine, Margaret Lockwood, begins to investigate. It's a comedy, really, with dark undertones. The train is travelling through a little-known European country, but the whole film was shot on a 90-foot-long set at Islington Studios in London. It was Michael Redgrave's screen debut and Hitchcock's penultimate English film before leaving for America. The music was uncredited by Louis Levy and Charles Williams. Emile Zola's novel La Bête Humaine was made into a film by Jean Renoir in 1938, starring Jean Gabin and Simone Simon. The gripping story involved Gaban, a train driver, falling in love with the wife of a fellow worker he witnesses killing someone. Gaban learned how to drive a locomotive before he made the film, and he looks like a real pro when he's up front. There is amazing footage of the train's journey taken by cameras strapped to the side of the locomotive. Fritz Lang also made a version called Human Desire in 1954, starring Glenn Ford, Gloria Graham and Broderick Crawford. There's nothing wrong with Lang's version, but if I had to choose between the two, I'd watch Renoir's film. It really is a visceral movie and shows basic instincts determining people's behaviour. In 1951, Hitchcock returned again to a train to set up his plot. The beginning of Strangers on a Train is beautifully simple as the two strangers arrive at the station, not knowing that their fates are about to be irretrievably linked. It was Hitchcock's first success in five films. He felt he needed a big name on the writing credits, so he spoke with John Steinbeck, Thornton Wilder and Dashiell Hammett before settling on Raymond Chandler. They didn't get on, and in fact, Zenzi Ormond wrote most of the script. Robert Walker is superb as Bruno Anthony, and it was his final role. It was adapted from a book by Patricia Highsmith, and the music was by Dmitri Tiomkin. Plenty of film noirs use the train as a location. In Crack Up, 1946, a man survives a train wreck that never happened. In Berlin Express, 1948, by Jacques Tourneur, there's an assassination attempt on a post-war German pacifist. In Douglas Sirk's Sleep My Love, 1948, an amnesiac wakes up on a train. In Union Station, 1950, there's the kidnapping of an heiress. In No Man of Her Own, 1950, a woman steals the identity of a passenger after a train wreck. In Anthony Mann's The Tall Target, 1951, there's a presidential assassination plot on the way to the inauguration ceremony. And in Ted Tetzlaff's Terror on a Train, 1953, there's a bomb on the train. But the real corker is Narrow Margin, 1952, by Richard Fleischer. There's no opening titles music, as the budget was so low, only $188,000, so they couldn't afford any, and stock music was used instead. It was shot in 13 days, and one of the first films to use a handheld camera as an economy measure. But it was RKO's biggest grosser of 1952 in North America. It's a lesson in economy on the screen too, and the dialogue has some of the best there's ever been in film noir. A gangster's widow agrees to testify against the mob and is brought by train from Chicago to Los Angeles. Her escort has to prevent her from getting killed before she reaches the court. Northwest Frontier in 1959 is essentially a remake of John Ford's Stagecoach set in India on a train. It was, in fact, shot in Andalusia, Spain. It starred Kenneth Moore, Lauren Bacall and Herbert Lom, with music by Misha Spolyansky. We'll be right back. The Train, 1964, was a Burt Lancaster production. Arthur Penn was replaced after one day's shoot by John Frankenheimer, and then the budget doubled to a huge $6.7 million, as Frankenheimer wanted to use real train wrecks. Lancaster had worked with Frankenheimer before on Birdman of Alcatraz in 62 and The Young Savages in 61. It was about the Nazis shipping out works of art from Paris at the end of the war. Here's Maurice Jarre's opening credits music from The Train. Satyajit Ray, the Indian director, used The Train in his masterpiece, Nayak the Hero, in 1966. A celebrated film star, played brilliantly by Uttam Kumar, takes the train to go and pick up an award and revisits his past en route. There is a memorable dream sequence where Kumar is running through mountains of banknotes and is pursued by many ringing telephones in cradles made from skeleton hands, reminiscent of Dali. Eventually, he sinks into a quicksand of money. The script was written for Uttam Kumar, and Satyajit Ray wrote his own film scores. There's a fantastic opening montage of the credits. Here's the music. Granier de Fer directed The Last Train in 1973. It follows the evacuation of a French village at the beginning of the war and stars Jean-Louis Trintignant and Romy Schneider. It's a very well-made film from a novel by Georges Simenon, known primarily for creating Maigret. The director changed the ending of the novel and it works well. Romy Schneider had contacted him and asked to be in one of his films. The score was written by Philippe Sard, who wrote over 200 film scores. This is Julien. Joseph Sargent's classic, The Taking of Pelham 123 in 1974, is about the hijacking of a subway train in New York. Walter Matthau and Robert Shaw star. The music is by David Shire, and here's the opening titles music. Richard Pryor and Gene Wilder made four films together, and Silver Streak was the first in 1976. Many regard it as their best work together. It's a dark comedy with Hitchcockian undertones about a man, Wilder, who thinks he's the target of a malicious plot. The ending is fantastic. Here's the opening titles music by Henry Mancini. In 1978, Sean Connery teamed up with Donald Sutherland to make Michael Crichton's The First Great Train Robbery. It's a very enjoyable caper in which Connery masterminds the first robbery from a moving train set in the time of the Crimean War. It's loosely based on an actual crime in 1855 and also stars Wayne Sleep in a rare film role. Jerry Goldsmith provided the score, and I'll leave you with part of his soundtrack suite for the film. I've by no means exhausted the use of trains in movies, but all of these are very enjoyable, and I hope you get the chance to see a few of them.